Welcome to the November 15th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and worship associate Hayden Catlin. The title of Rev. Pam's reflection is Remembrance and Repair. During her meditation, Rev. Pam reads a poem, Even This Is Enough, by Vanessa Southern. We were asked to read the poem out loud several times. A link for this poem is on the past sermons page that has a link for this podcast. Also on that page is a link for the video put together by Hayden, referenced by Rev. Pam during her reflection.
Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Hayden Catlett and I'm happy to be weaving worship with Reverend Pam today. If you're with us for the first time, we are so glad that you found us and we would like to get to know you better and stay connected. If you'd like, you can fill out our newcomers card, which you'll find a link to in the chat. That way we can keep in touch with you. We also invite you to stay after the service for our virtual coffee hour. We'll go into breakout rooms for a chance to meet in smaller groups for conversation. There are many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Look at the calendar on our website for times and Zoom links. Thank you to all the volunteers who make all of these activities possible. If you have a joy or a sorrow you'd like shared aloud this morning, you can find a link to the Joys and Sorrows card in the chat as well.
And I'd like to lift up a few announcements today. Right after the service, we'll have breakout rooms for conversation, as Hayden said. And if you all were in the sanctuary on the third Sunday of the month, what we would do is we would have an opportunity for people who are relatively new to UUC come up to the front by the candle table and meet with me and one of the members of the board and the Connections Committee. And just find out a little bit more about UUC. So after the service, instead of going to your breakout room, just stay in the main room and we're gonna try to recreate the new to UUC. I also wanna let you know that today, Reverend Jamie McReynolds is leading a community conversation at 11:30 and that will be on discussing American values and ideals. Do we have common values and ideals? You'll find the link to that conversation in the chat, I hope. The email reminder for today also has that link and on our website and on our calendar. And now I'd like to introduce Karen Hager, our Director of Lifespan Faith Development.
Good morning, everybody. Quick reminder to those of you in the Buddy Project not to forget your buddies this week. The Buddy Project officially kicks off today.
UUC has a beloved tradition called the No Rehearsal Holiday Pageant. Each year, our multi-generational cast presents a well-known holiday story without any rehearsal whatsoever. This is always a fun event and one you should not miss. This year, we will have our annual pageant with some necessary changes since we aren't together. If you'd like a part in the play, email me by November 25th. You'll submit a video of yourself acting your little heart out, although we still recommend you do it with no rehearsal. We'll put all the clips together and show the final production on Sunday, December 20th. This year's play will be Elf, the story of Buddy the Elf, a human accidentally taken to the North Pole and raised as an elf. As I said, this is a multi-generational play, so I do expect some adults to sign up for parts. And everybody who wants to be in our play will get a part. Also, just a reminder that Mitten Tree will be next Sunday. We'll be holding a drive-through donation drive / tree decorating event from 2 to 3 p.m. Bring your donations of new mittens, gloves, scarves, and hats to UUC and hang them on our tree. We promise an appropriately festive holiday mood while you experience the real meaning of the holidays by giving to others. If you can't make it that day, a donation bin is located outside of UUC so you can drop off your donations anytime before the big event. We'll make sure they get hung on the tree. And before I go, I thought I'd show you what the kids were up to in RE last week. Our preschool class read the storybook Llama Llama Red Pajama and made a llama quilt picture. And our K-5 class watched the Pixar short Jerry's Game, talked about imagination, and made their own chess sets. See you next week.
Now I invite you to light a candle or a chalice at home as Jamie lights the chalice in the sanctuary. Please join me in reading the words on the screen. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Today's opening words are by Reverend Angela Herrera. Don't leave your broken heart at the door. Bring it to the altar of life. Don't leave your anger behind. It has high standards, and the world needs vision. Bring them with you, and your joy, and your passion. Bring your loving, and your courage, and your conviction. Bring your need for healing, and your powers to heal. There is work to do, and you have all that you need to do it right here in this room. And now, if you will please join Patrick Feit in reading the Congregational Covenant.
We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
Each week, UUC donates half of the offering to a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. In honor of Transgender Day of Remembrance this week, we will be sharing the plate with the National Center for Transgender Equality, which advocates to change policies and society to increase understanding and acceptance of transgender people. In the nation's capital and throughout the country, NCTE works to replace disrespect, discrimination, and violence with empathy, opportunity, and justice. Please see the screen and the order of service for ways to give. And join me in reading our offering words. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
I invite you into a mood of meditation. This morning's meditation is one that comes from our Soul Matters small group packets. And it's to be used in the practice of Lectio Divina, which is a Latin way of saying divine reading. This practice invites us to read a piece of poetry or prose more than once, each time listening for new meanings, discovering what feelings are evoked, what memories are stirred, what messages are sent to you particularly as you read. So I'm going to read this just one time, but I invite you to read it again and again later on today to see what it says to you. So settle into your seat. Maybe take a deep breath. Maybe close your eyes, whatever it takes for you to be fully present to these words. This is Even This Is Enough by Vanessa Southern. So much undone, so much to do, so much to heal in us and the world, so much to acquire. A meal, a healthy body, a fit one, a lover, a job, a better job, proof we have and are enough, just around the corner of now. And up against it, the reality of all that falls short and the limits of today. We honor the limits. If your body won't do what it used to, for right now, let it be enough. If your mind won't stop racing or can't think of the word, let it be enough. If you are here, utterly alone and in despair, be all that here with us. If today you cannot sing because your throat hurts or you don't have the heart for music, be silent. When the offering plate goes around, if you don't have money to give or the heart to give it, let it pass. The world won't stop spinning on her axis if you don't rise to all occasions today. Love won't cease to flow in your direction. Your heart won't stop beating. All hope won't be lost. You are part of the plan for this world's salvation. Of that I have no doubt. The world needs its oceans of people striving to be good, to carry us to the shores of hope and wash fear from the beachheads and cleanse all wounds so they can heal. But oceans are big, and I am sure there are parts that don't feel up to the task of the whole some days. Rest, if you must, then, like the swimmer lying on her back who floats, or the hawk carried on cushions of air. Rest in seats made to hold weary lives, in space carved out for the doing of nothing much but being. Perhaps then you will feel in your bones, in your weary heart, the aching, healing sense that this is enough. Even this. That we are enough. You are enough. Enough. For these and all the meditations of our hearts unspoken in this hour, I say, Amen, and blessed be. Our meditation hymn is one of aspiration, calling us to widen the circle of enabling love to embrace everyone, all the living. And yet, today we are remembering some of those who were left outside the circle, and as a result, are no longer among the living. This month, we are considering what it means to be a people of healing. But healing whom? This Friday, November 20th, marks the 21st Transgender Day of Remembrance, which was set aside to memorialize those who were killed due to anti-transgender hatred or prejudice. The first commemoration was a candlelight vigil in San Francisco, but now it is a day of remembrance observed all over the world. According to the Remembering Our Dead website, the purpose of Transgender Day of Remembrance is to raise public awareness of hate crimes against transgender people. to publicly mourn and honor the lives of our brothers and sisters who might otherwise be forgotten. Through the vigil, we express love and respect for our people in the face of national indifference and hatred. To remind non-transgender people that we are their sons, daughters, parents, friends, and lovers. And to give our allies a chance to step forward with us and stand in vigil, memorializing those of us who died by anti-transgender violence. Now, as we participate in Transgender Day of Remembrance, I'm mindful that many of us here are those who need our awareness raised, who need to be reminded, and hopefully, who are or are becoming allies who want to step forward to stand in vigil with people who are transgender, genderqueer, and non-binary. Many of us represent the dominant culture in this country. Many, but not all, of us are cisgender, meaning our gender identity matches the sex we were assigned at birth. Many, but not all of us, are white. Many, but not all of us, are straight. Many, but not all of us, were born in this country. This might sound like splitting hairs, but we're becoming more aware of all the different identities that we carry in this world. Our gender, our race, our sexual orientation, our national origin, our socioeconomic status, our educational background. The list goes on and on. We are becoming more aware of intersectionality. And today, I want to suggest that when we find ourselves in places of relative privilege, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to begin to heal our society. We need to heal ourselves. The centering quotation for our order of service today comes from a young trans woman named Leela Alcorn, who died by suicide and left a message that said, in part, "My death needs to mean something. My death needs to be counted in the number of transgender people who commit suicide this year. I want someone to look at that number and say, that's messed up, and fix it. Fix society, please." She didn't write, "Fix me. Fix society, please." She was 17. Last fall, some of us participated in the Transgender Inclusion in Congregation workshops, and I was struck by the notion Leela's words convey. The need for healing is not so much for the people who are suffering, the people at the margins, as it is for the people who are causing the suffering, the dominant culture. This was an aha moment for me, reframing my thinking. I had heard the statistics about the high incidence of homelessness, of unemployment, of mental illness, and of suicide among transgender people. When it comes to healing, my thought was that transgender people need healing. But during one of the workshop sessions, my perspective shifted. I went back to the workshop transcript to find the words that had helped me make that shift, and I was surprised by how few they were. This is what the presenter said. "Being trans does not automatically come with suffering. Culture creates it. It is, in fact, the culture that creates that suffering. It is the culture that creates that suffering. Those were the words that shifted my understanding. The culture, our culture, my culture creates suffering. There is nothing inherent in being transgender that would cause unemployment, homelessness, mental illness, or suicide. It is the culture that causes it. The presenters, Reverend Michael Slack and Alex Capitan, explained, there's self-doubt and fear that often comes with constant rejection, both out in the world and interpersonally among folks that trans and gender non-conforming people are closer to. Self-doubt and fear that comes from constant rejection. Who needs healing? Those who feel self-doubt and fear, or those who are doing the rejecting? They go on to say, some of the biggest struggles that we face as a community have to do with economic justice, specifically around employment and the difficulty of finding employment, policing and incarceration, and being disproportionately policed and incarcerated as a community. Healthcare access, specifically because being trans often comes with unique healthcare needs. So getting access to healthcare is a really big deal for us. If we want to be people of healing, how might we heal our society so that no one suffers from injustice in hiring and employment, over policing and incarceration, and access to healthcare? In the midst of this year of pandemic, when inequities of healthcare have been put into sharp relief, in this year of protest against racial injustices, when inequities in over-policing have been put into sharp relief, I'm guessing that you are hearing echoes of other communities within our society that are likewise suffering from injustice. All of which is to say, if we are to be a people of healing, it will be important for us to understand that we must heal the causes of that suffering. Putting a Band-Aid on the wound is not the same as preventing the injury. It is good that we observe Transgender Day of Remembrance, but we must go beyond observances and vigils. We must acknowledge that the healing that needs to happen is our own. The scholar Sarah Lamble argues that Transgender Day of Remembrance's focus on a collective mourning risks producing the white spectator as innocent of, rather than complicit in, the violence that produces the deaths of trans women of color they are mourning. She states, our task is then to push these further, not only with respect to Transgender Day of Remembrance, but also in the many ways we recount and confront violence. None of us are innocent. We must envision practices of remembrance that situate our own positions within structures of power that authorize violence in the first place. Our task is to move from sympathy to responsibility, from complicity to reflexivity, from witnessing to action. It is not enough to simply honor the memory of the dead. We must transform the practices of the living. It's quite a call to action. Transform the practices of the living. Transform the world through courageous love. And so now, let us remember those who have died. Hayden has put together a video that will let us see the faces and the names of those who have died this past year, acknowledging that there are many more who have died this past year because our culture is sick and in need of healing. Let us be reminded that every face, every name represents someone's child, sibling, parent, friend, or lover. Let us affirm each person's dignity and worth. Let us step forward and stand vigil. Let us remember them. We have a responsive reading to share. Hayden and I will read it together, but I invite you to repeat the phrase, "We bear witness." We bear witness. We people gathered here today on the quest for truth and meaning bear witness.
We bear witness to the record of human lives extinguished simply because these people dared to live authentically.
We bear witness to the lives and reported deaths of over 400 transgender people globally so far this year.
We bear witness to the lives and reported deaths of 51 transgender people in the United States so far this year.
We bear witness to the unreported ones, uncounted ones, the unnamed many whose lives and deaths will only ever be known by the universe.
We bear witness. In these times of heightened anxiety, we who are gathered here today reject the teachings of division and ignorance and commit to siding with love against hatred.
We bear witness against closed-minded ideologies that excuse evil acts in the name of religion.
We bear witness against any administration that seeks to fuel their rise to power by threatening the lives of transgender, genderqueer, and non-binary people.
We bear witness against systemic power structures that treat transgender, genderqueer, and non-binary people, particularly those who are people of color, as being anything less than human.
We bear witness. On this day, we who are queer folk and allies gather together, uphold the first principle that speaks to the inherent worth and dignity of every person.
We bear witness for those transgender, genderqueer, and non-binary people who are gathered among us today.
We bear witness for those who are allied to the cause of protecting our transgender, genderqueer, and non-binary siblings.
We bear witness for those who exist boldly, unapologetically in public space as fully authentic transgender, genderqueer, and non-binary people.
We bear witness.
We invite you in your homes now to speak aloud the names of those people you wish to hold in the light. These remembered deaths have not gone unnoticed by us.
We bear witness. Sacred, transgender, genderqueer, and non-binary lives do not go unnoticed by us.
We bear witness. Amen. Amen. Amen, and blessed be. As a congregation, we can join in efforts to heal our society, to heal ourselves. One way is to recommit ourselves to being a welcoming congregation. The UUA has a program to help guide us in our commitment to radical hospitality and creating beloved community. It's called Five Practices of Welcome Renewal. It recognizes that to be truly welcoming is not a one-time commitment, but an ongoing process. If you would like to help UUC engage in this process, please contact me so we can get started. We can be a people of healing. We can build a new way. Please join in singing with me. We are building a new way. Thanks to Jared and Natalie Gibbs for leading us in music. Thanks to Hayden for creating a film that helped us see the people we want to remember. Thanks to all of you for coming here this morning. In the week ahead, I invite you to find ways to heal our world, starting with love. And I invite Jamie to extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of our commitment. Let's take that out into the world with us until we are together again.